Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey, and I'm here with Jim Cassidy. And today we're going to do a special book notice episode where we have a whole bunch of important and interesting theological books. We're not going to provide in-depth reviews of all of them, but we're going to gather several of them together and announce them, let you know about them, give you notice, and explain a little bit about the book and see whether or not you'd like to investigate further. Jim, what do we have on store for today?
Sure, Camden. I have about several books here, five of them actually to be precise, that are fairly new. Mm-hmm. They're not brand spanking new, but they are fairly new, ones that I think are worthwhile and worth our listeners to at least have some knowledge of, because I think that these are in many ways leading volumes, particularly in the area of systematic theology, which would be our bailiwick, I guess, here at Reform Forum. So let me go ahead and introduce the first one I have here, which is a part of a series called New Studies in Dogmatics that seems to have... I wouldn't call it a Bardian series, because I don't think everyone who participates in this series would identify themselves as Bardians, although the series editors, would find themselves more in the broader Calvinistic evangelical tradition. That would be Michael Allen and Scott Swain, both professors at Reformed Theological Seminary. Wonderful expositors of the Reformed faith and Reformed dogmatics. But the advisory board, interestingly, has a little bit more of a mixed nature to it, including John Webster, who I regard very highly as a scholar, a theologian, and an expositor of Barth's theology. The title of the book is The Holy Spirit. So this particular volume is in the series is on the Holy Spirit, and it's by Christopher Holmes. Mm-hmm. So as you open up the book, you'll see that there's a history of the doctrine. He begins by talking about Augustine's understanding of the Holy Spirit, and then he gets into Thomas Aquinas as well as Karl Barth, and then brings about some theological observations at the end. So again, that's a series which is a fairly new series and one with some very well known up and coming scholars.
Yeah, this looks really interesting. I need to get a copy of this book. I don't have one yet, but I've seen them around. I've certainly seen that this series is an important one and one that should garner some interest from our listeners.
Yeah, it's a Zondervan publication. Mm-hmm. So Zondervan's been producing some pretty heavyweight stuff here recently, and this one is a welcome addition, I think, to current discussions. Now, of course, all that being said, Camden, that doesn't mean we're vouching for the contents. We're not saying that that the content of these volumes are necessarily what we would consider to be sound theology. Mm-hmm. We're not saying one way or another, but are saying read with discernment. Mm-hmm. But these are volumes that are worth your consideration, certainly.
Absolutely. What other books do we have?
The next one is part of the Five Solas series, mm-hmm. and I believe that actually I have two here from the Five Solas series, and we did an interview. I wasn't in that interview, but you were with Dr. Van Drunen.
Yep.
And, of course, with the anniversary of the Reformation coming up next year, we're starting to see more and more of these volumes coming out with particular emphasis upon Martin Luther and the calling cards of the Reformation. And so this would be in addition to that, also published by Zondervan, and a couple of very attractive paperback volumes. And the first one is by Thomas Schreiner, and it's called Faith Alone, The Doctrine of Justification, What the Reformers Taught and Why It Still Matters. So Thomas Schreiner, of course, we know is a professor of New Testament at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. in Louisville, and always a man worth reading. His New Testament scholarship is always worth reading, always very thoughtful, well-researched, a very good scholar. So, in fact, the opening of this volume warms my heart, because as he comes into the introduction, he has a quote right at the top of the page from Francis Turretin, which is does my heart good as I look at that, and I see his Turretin as the first person quoted there at the opening of the volume. So that's very good. We can commend this, of course. I think generally speaking, as coming from a sound theologian and someone who will serve us well. He opens up the volume, Camden, here with a historical tour of Sola Fide, which looks like a very helpful, but a very broad mapping out of the history of understanding the doctrine of faith alone through the history of the church, mm-hmm. and then gets into what he calls a biblical and theological tour of Sola Fide. And it's a little bit of a systematic theology, I suppose, where he's going through different loci of theology, including the doctrine of sin, and then how faith relates to that, particularly relative to Jesus Christ, what it means to be in Christ as a sinner and justified by faith alone. Goes in and talks about other things such as righteousness is eschatological. That's chapter 12 in the book, mm-hmm. Which I would love to get into that and see the way in which Schreiner unpacks, as we know Dr. Gaffin has done for us in the past, right? Mm-hmm. Unpack the eschatological nature of justification. And so it'll be a fascinating read. And then closes out with the last section on contemporary challenges to Sola Fide. And so he interacts with Roman Catholicism. He interacts with evangelicals who have gone back to Roman Catholicism and who have written on the subject of Sola Fide. He gets into the new perspective on Paul as he's closing out the volume. So once again, this looks like a volume that will be well worth our listeners picking up and reading, especially if you're interested in current discussions on the doctrine of justification.
The other being David Van Drunen's God's Glory Alone in the same series.
Yep.
You can check out Christ the Center, episode 425. For my interview with Dr. Van Drunen on this book. I greatly enjoyed reading it. I thought it was an excellent book, and we had a good conversation about it, going through in detail all the contents of the book. But it's definitely something that would be worth reading, and something that's very accessible. Van Drunen's book is very accessible. You could give it to people in your church. It has meat, and it's worthy of reading as somebody with theological training. Yet at the same time, it's not inaccessible, or too difficult for somebody to just open up and read. So this is a great series. I really appreciate this series.
Yeah, it looks like a great set of books, and some sound scholars who are unpacking for us those five solas, which we know mm-hmm. we can never take for granted. Mm-hmm. We can never take it for granted that those doctrines will continue in the future to be faithfully articulated, taught, preached, believed, and loved. As we approach 2017 especially, it's appropriate.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to all sorts of things. I wonder if there's got to be a ton of Luther volumes in the works. I haven't heard of too many myself, but I would imagine there's going to be a million of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll have to see what happens. 2017 might be, if we thought 2009 was a big deal,
with Calvin's anniversary.
I think 2017 is going to be immense.
Yeah, I believe you're I believe you're correct. It's going to be crazy. And the question will be, which book do you buy first?
What other books do we have? That's three down, two more, right? So what?
Two more. And actually, I'm going to pull in a
hey,
six,
a bonus
towards the
we
end.
We got a bonus.
Yeah, bonus round. Yeah, I'm going to pull in a six. It's one I wasn't asked to review the sixth one, but I want to just go ahead and give it a notice. It is one I've delved into a little bit that I think it pertains to some of the study I'm doing, and so I thought maybe I'll mention it. And anyway, so I'll get to that one in a moment. But the next one is called Locating Atonement, Explorations in Constructive Dogmatics. This is also a Zondervan title. And this comes out of a conference, the Los Angeles Theology Conference, that was held, and I'm not picking up the year, I believe it was either 2013 or 2014, and I'm not picking up the volume immediately as I'm, or the year of the conference as I'm picking up the book.
It was the third annual one, whenever that was. I'm sure you could.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. Yep. And this is the third volume in that set. And actually, I am picking it up now. It looks like it was January of 2015. So anyway, Locating Atonement it's edited by Crisp and Sanders, mm-hmm. Oliver Crisp and Fred Sanders. And it's going to be a mix of various and sundry scholars and Catholic scholars. Yeah, Bruce McCormick is in here. I guess that's who you were referring to.
You read my mind.
who, of course, is a premier leading Bart right. scholar and always worth listening mm-hmm. to. And actually, you can find these lectures online, I believe on YouTube or one of these web pages, or I don't remember exactly where, but you can see the videos uh-huh. of these lectures. And I listened to Bruce McCormick's lecture a couple of times. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And anytime Dr. McCormick speaks, he brings so much meat and content to the discussion.
Matthew Levering, Eleanor Stump. Matthew Levering's yep. around the corner from me. He's at the Pontifical Institute. St.
Yep,
Mary's, and then you've got Eleanor Stump.
Catholic representative.
Serious. Mm-hmm. Her book on Aquinas yep. is heavyweight book. That's an amazing volume.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Stump. Yeah. Stump actually asks, if you look at the video series, asks a very good question to Dr. McCormick during the question and answer time. So check that out. And of course, Michael Horton. One that we would consider in our circles as a mm-hmm. Reformed evangelical scholar and theologian. So it's a little bit of everything kind of thrown in here and worth discussing, because it will bring you up to speed on where the minds are of people in these different theological traditions.
This one's going on my list
that.
Right now. I haven't seen this
yep.
one yet. Nice.
Yep.
What mm-hmm. else do we have?
So can't recommend that one. Take a look at that one yeah. enough. The other one is kind of a it's in that kind of vein, also talking about atonement, mm-hmm. but it's called Exploring Christology and Atonement, Conversations with John McLeod Campbell with McIntosh and Torrance mm-hmm. by Andrew Purvis. So this is this is pretty serious, pretty heavy duty theology that's being done here, in a historical theological vein, where what it appears that he's trying to do here is unpack particularly modern Protestant conversations in the area of Christology and atonement. Let me just go through. I want to whet the appetite of our listeners. By just going through very brief, there's only seven chapters here of these titles, mm-hmm. Which is fascinating. But the first three chapters are on Christology, and the first chapter is on who is the incarnate Savior of the world, and basic opening introduction as to the person and the identity of Christ. Second chapter is on the mystery of Christ and the hypostatic union. The third chapter is on the magnificent exchange and union with Christ. So that is a topic that is very near and dear to our hearts, particularly the doctrine of union. And then getting into the atonement, talking about John McLeod Campbell's theology of satisfaction. And then getting into the fifth chapter, which is Hugh Ross McIntosh and the experience of forgiveness. And then last, chapter 6 on T.F. Torrance on the atonement as ransom, priestly atonement, justification, reconciliation, redemption. And we've had conversations and shows in the past on Torrance's understanding of Christology, the Incarnation, and Atonement. So that should provide some interesting fodder. And then just a close-up chapter, Christology and Atonement, Faith and Ministry.
Nice.
That one is by IVP, University Press Academic. And I think that our listeners would also find that one to be interesting, coming from a new, young, up-and-coming luminary.
Yeah, most of these books here look like they were mostly in the fall or winter of 2015, so very recent, certainly within the world of theology. And I'm interested in all of these. I've read one of them already, but looks like my reading list is getting longer, Jim. Thanks for that. And
I'll tell you what, they publish them faster and I can read them. That's
tell
for
me
sure.
About it.
You know. And then if you want to actually write a review on any of these books, then it's even slower, because then not only do you have to read it, but then you got to write about it too.
Yeah. So. You have to read it, you know, you have to read it much, much more critically than you might just for your own personal thoughts and consideration. Not that you should never, ever read uncritically, but you get my drift. When you're reading to review, it usually takes a lot longer, or multiple reads, which is even better. But there's a lot
there. That's right, because you got to read closer and slower. And because if you're going to be trying to expound the thought of somebody else in a book and you can't just read it, you got to actually stop and
that
pause.
Movement between kind of having thoughts or an assessment in your mind to articulation is a huge movement, and that could be helpful. I can encourage, this is unsolicited advice for the listeners, but it's challenging for a reason, and I think when you're forced to articulate your thoughts about a book, you actually end up formulating your thoughts better, and you actually end up learning things. Yes. So you might feel that you understand or know a book pretty well, but until you're forced to write it down, what you think, and not just speak about it. Speaking is certainly important in talking about the book, but actually writing it down in written words on a screen or on paper, there's something psychological and neurological going on there, and it's a challenge. But it's another helpful way to read better, to read well. And that's why it's so important to interact with the books as you read them, taking notes. But go the step further if you're able and if you have the time, you know, write out your thoughts in prose. Whether or not you're ever going to publish them, it'll be good for you. I know that's a challenge for myself, and so
amen.
Something to think
well,
of.
Well, you and any other student that has gone to Westminster Seminary knows that because one of the tasks we got and received while at Westminster, particularly in our systematics courses, were to digest our readings. Mm. And while we may have grumbled and moaned and groaned through the process, we all came out the other side better off for having done it. So it's not easy. It's hard, but hard work does produce better fruitfulness.
Yeah, when done well.
When done well, that's right. So can't commend that practice enough. Wow. That's exactly right.
So what's our bonus title here?
So ding, 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 the bonus round is a book called Image and Hope, John Calvin and Karl Barth on Body, Soul, and Life Everlasting. And I'm going to try to pronounce this man's name. I understand he is
there's another title called Images of Hope, Meditations on Major Feasts by Joseph Ratzinger and John Rock. That first title you may know is the currently living but not active Pope. So we have a different title here. Image and Hope.
Different.
This one's by go ahead. I want to hear your New Jersey accent on this one.
New Jersey butchering of the poor guy's
name.
Come on,
boardwalk this one.
Yaroslav Vyazovsky.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
How's that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You didn't boardwalk it too much.
There you go. Not too much. Not too much. Boardwalk it.
And Paul Helm wrote the foreword here.
The reason why I'm excited about this volume, not only is this, and by the way, if I could just direct, I don't know if you have access to the back cover or not, but one of the names of those who are puffing the book on the back cover is Jeffrey Stuyvesant.
Oh, I see that. Our friend.
Who is our Reform Forum contributor, Jeffrey Stuyvesant. So that caught my attention right away when I saw it. I said, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty excited when I saw his name and I saw Paul Helm's name on there, and I thought, wow, this this is good. And apparently the brother who wrote this book is doing really good work in Eastern Europe and trying to bring the Reformed faith, Voss and Van Til, into a place in a world where it hasn't really taken root very strongly. So when I heard Jeff tell me about the ministry that this man is doing there and the work that he has done on Bart, I was instantly intrigued. But let me tell you, Camden, real quick, if I could, the first part of the book, just to talk about it. First part of the book is on Calvin, okay, and on his ontological anthropology. And then he gets into Bart, and he's comparing, of course, Calvin and Bart. But there's an intriguing section, and it's chapter 9, where he talks about time, death, and hope. And one of the interesting things that that our brother here, Vyazovsky, brings up is that Bart has a doctrine of what he calls mortalism. And that is the doctrine that basically says when you die, there ends human consciousness. So in effect, for Bart, there is no afterlife. And I found that to be no conscious afterlife anyway, or individual conscious afterlife. And the reason why I picked up this volume and started to read it with a great deal of interest is not only because it's well-researched and well-written, it is, but also because that was something that I had picked up as I was researching my dissertation, and that mortalism, even though I didn't use that term, as far as I know, that's Vyazovsky's coinage. But
you definitely noticed it.
I picked that up in my dissertation, and I thought I was I couldn't find anybody else who was writing about Bart on the. I mean, this is a significant thing if that's in fact Bart's view and if that's accurate. Mm-hmm. So to have somebody else kind of confirm the reading of Bart that I had and the concerns I had with that reading of Bart, it just was interesting and intriguing. And so I picked up the volume as I'm reading it. I want to commend it to our listeners, because if you're interested in studying how Bart relates to the Reformed tradition, especially Calvin, and the severe discontinuities that are there, I would commend this volume for you to pick up and to explore.
Now, this may be a question I'm going to regret asking, but one of my favorite books on anthropology, theological anthropology, is John Cooper's Body, Soul, and Life Everlasting. Is this incidental, or are they using that phrase from some historical volume that I'm unaware of? How is Body, Soul, and Life Everlasting here significant?
You mean Cooper's
book? Cooper's book title is the same sequence of words: body, soul, and life everlasting. Are they both alluding to something that I'm not picking up on, or is this just an incidental similarity?
As far as I know, it's incidental. Yeah. Now, that is as far as I know. And there's more that I don't know.
If this is some church father's phrase or something I should know or something like that.
That's a great, great question. I don't know.
Cool.
And actually, to be, I'll confess, to show you how ignorant I am, I've not read Cooper's book, because it wasn't assigned in anthropology at Westminster when I went through. I know it
teachers.
Was when you went through, and I know that Dr. Tipton highly
it's
recommends
superb.
It for his students. Yeah, and I just haven't had it gotten to reading that one.
No,
yet.
No, it's workable.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Man, these are a lot of there are several good books here. So we've got On the Holy Spirit, Faith Alone, God's Glory Alone, Locating Atonement, Exploring Christology and Atonement, and then our sixth and bonus volume, Image and Hope, John Calvin and Karl Barth on Body, Soul, and Life Everlasting. I'll have links to all of these as well as all the titles in our show notes and episode description, so don't worry, all this will be logged away, and so you can check out your iPhone, your Android phone, your smart device, your computer, the web page, wherever you are, you'll be able to get this content and follow up. So let us know if you pick up any of these volumes and read them. We'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to interact with the ideas therein as well. Thanks so much, Jim. This has been a great conversation. Appreciate you bringing these books to the floor.
Stuff. Yep.
Well, we can encourage you to visit us online at reformedforum.org. If you have some other suggestions for us, some other books you'd like us to take a look at, or if you'd just like to get in touch with us, you can do so on the website, tweeting us at Reformed Forum, emailing us at mail@reformedforum.org. But until next time, we ask that you would pick up and read.